So please open your Bibles again at Galatians and chapter 6. And the motto text is verse 2, but we'll be looking at the first few verses of that chapter. Galatians chapter 6, focusing on verse 2. Now, if you mention the NHS in any context, nearly everybody's got an opinion to give, and either a good or a bad experience. But which part of the NHS is more important? Is it the paramedic side? Well, yes, if you're currently lying on the pavement, having just been run over by a bus. That's of most importance to you then. But what about the palliative care side? Well, yes, if you're lying in a hospice racked with pain from cancer. What about the preventative side? Well, that's harder to make the case for from a user perspective, but if you're a member of staff and you're trying to cope with the amazing winter demand, prevention is much better. Trying to keep people healthy is important. Now, mention Christian love. Nearly every Christian has an opinion, has a good or a bad experience. But again, which is more important? Is it the love of the crisis? Is it the love that patiently waits in the lonely hours? Or what about the love that dares to step in early? You see, they serve different burdens, don't they? And if we are Christians, we have a spirit-given duty to bear the burdens, to shoulder, to love according to the needs that we see. And so that's why I've chosen Galatians 6:2 to be our motto text for 2020. It's a call, it's a challenge to us who are members here to be committed to one another through this year. It's countercultural because we are being called to invest in what are otherwise a random group of people that God has chosen for us. We didn't choose the other members of this church. God did. And yet we're called now to invest heavily in one another. And to do so at great inconvenience to ourselves. We're to put the other person's agenda before our own. How inconvenient is that? And yet that is the kind of love that Jesus displayed to his disciples and calls us to display to one another so that others will see that we are followers of him. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of love. I'm going to run through verses 1 to 5 in Galatians 6. Just to explain their meaning, and then I'm going to press some instructions that come from the text. 4 are clear, 2 are practical suggestions running out of those. So let's go through and see Galatians 6 verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Now the term brothers here includes sisters. That's the way the Greek word works. Brothers and sisters. And when it says caught in, it doesn't mean spied upon and caught. It means trapped. Okay? Brothers and sisters, if another one of you is caught up, is trapped in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him. So the first thing we can see here is that the work of pastoring, the work of shepherding, the work of counselling, the work of discipling isn't only for the paid pastors. Brothers and sisters, you are to be involved. Sure, the pastors will take perhaps more of a lead and have more time and gifting, but all of us as a body, that's why we have a membership and we understand one another as a body, are to be involved. All church members who are spiritual. Now, the book of Galatians, let me just peel back a bit and give you the context. The book of Galatians is a book where Paul was addressing a heresy in the early church in the region of Galatia. And it had come in that the idea was that both Jewish and Gentile Christians had to keep the law of Moses. Paul in this book says, no, that is against the gospel. Christ kept the law of Moses for us. And our attempts, well, they're both futile and an insult to him. We have his righteousness, not that which we can earn ourselves. But then comes the question, but what do we do then with the remaining sinful tendencies in us? Shouldn't we be strapped down with lots of laws to keep us? What's to keep the battle with sin from just rearing up and moral lawlessness spreading in the church? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? And the argument from this book is that every Christian has been given the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables us to live the Christian life. We are not in the age of the law, kept under, but we live in the age of the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And he is a gift given to give life and direction and energy to every Christian. It's the Holy Spirit that works in us. But he's a person. He can be ignored. He can be sidelined. To use human terms, he has feelings and he can be grieved. And so we need to realize as Christians that we have an enemy that wants us to ignore the Holy Spirit. He's described, isn't he, the devil, like a lion that roars and prowls around, finding our weak spots. And so the book of Galatians has been saying it's about the Spirit and walking in step with the Spirit. And that's what it is to be spiritual. To be spiritual is to be in tune, to be aware of, to be led by, to be walking with the Holy Spirit. But if you do that, it's not a private matter. It's not you, me, Jesus and the Spirit reading the Bible and living a private life. No, true spirituality is very practical, very hands-on. And to be spiritual is to invest in one another. You who are spiritual need to help those who are less spiritual, those who have fallen away, those who are slipping. We can see that it's Christians that we're to serve because we're to restore them. Well, you restore someone who has been in a place but dropped down. It's other Christians that we're to be serving. We're told in verse 10 to focus on the household of God. So true spirituality is the Holy Spirit directing us to live well ourselves, but to then give a helping hand to those around us. So church membership isn't simply an Excel spreadsheet with a load of numbers and names on it. Church membership is a body of people spiritually growing and serving one another. So I ask you, if you're a member here, you've made a promise, are you fulfilling that promise to be that person who serves the others? That's what we're called to do. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now, this may mean keep an eye out that you don't follow in the same sin, particularly if you're getting very close up with someone. You might be finding out a lot more about that sin. You might be finding out how to do that sin. Be careful. It may mean that. Or it may be, it's saying, don't allow pride, I don't do that sin, to mean that you're then blind to your other sins. Keep watch on yourself, lest you, in thinking you're so much better than that person, fall into another sin. Both of those things are true. Be aware. Don't presume that you won't fall yourself. And so we come to our verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Don't walk by on the other side. Don't look the other way and hope that person just wanders off. Don't gossip about them. Aren't they really in a mess? But walk towards them. Walk towards the pain and share the burden. Except you were hoping just to dash off after the service, weren't you? You just wanted to come and do your Sunday morning service and then dash off, eat your own meal to your own liking. You were hoping to dash off and do your own thing for the rest of the day. And then God's word speaks to you and says, no, bear one another's burdens. Stay and invest in each other. And that's where the rubber hits the road with some of you, doesn't it? It's not simply about private worship on a Sunday morning in a warm space. That's not the Christian life. It's about bearing one another's burdens. It's about investing, staying. Because it's not an option. Look how it's described. It's to fulfill the law of Christ. Not the kind of suggested idea of Christ, but the law of Christ. If you are a genuine Christian, you will show that through your spirituality, and it will be shown in practical ways by bearing others' burdens. Because that's just what Jesus did, as we read in John 13. Very practical, wasn't he? He met the needs of the moment. I think Paul's probably playing on the word here. You're not under the law of Moses. And so he says, but you are under the law of Christ. You're not just free to do as you choose. No, you're to follow Jesus. And Jesus showed sacrificial love in serving his disciples. And yet that's so inconvenient, isn't it? People come with their troubles when you don't need them. And yet that's just the challenge of being like Jesus. It's hard. It's inconvenient. It's fraught with danger. Will you ever get away? And so you need to be spiritual. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to give you the energy, to give you the motivation to do this. And so Paul gives quite a stinging challenge, doesn't he, in verse 3 onwards. He says, I know what you're thinking. I'll give this one a pass, thank you. But look what he says in verse 3. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbour. For each will have to bear his own load. If you think your agenda is more important, the way you spend the rest of Sunday is more important than the way you serve others. If you think that your life is supreme, you've deceived yourself. We need to take a good, sober look at how we are living. It's so easy, isn't it, to dismiss the needs of others because we feel that we deserve more. Be careful not to deceive yourself. Test your own life. Be honest. Quite a challenge, isn't it? Let's not be those who think we are something and are in fact nothing. So that's what those verses are teaching, okay? Let's go back now and draw out the instruction. What are we to do then? How are we to get some grip on this? Four points and then two suggestions. Firstly, the clear command is to be... Anyone guess what that first one is? Be spiritual. Yeah, be spiritual. But you see, the thought is that some of us say, well, I'm not, so I've got the exemption. But we're not to think like that. We're not to think, well, I'm just one of these sort of, you know, average or below average Christians. I'll leave all that to somebody else. No, we are to be following the lead of the Spirit. Can you imagine being a footballer, in theory, who loves to stay on the bench? You know, I get dressed up into my kit, but I always stay on the bench. I've never played a game. No, I'm not good enough for that. I don't want to be chosen. But we're not to be like that as Christians, are we? Oh, I'm not spiritual. No. I'm exempt from all of that stuff. I'll leave that to the others. No, be spiritual. Be someone who is walking in step with the Spirit. Invest in your own growth so that you may serve others. What are we told on the aeroplanes? We're told to put our own oxygen mask on first before we serve others. We need to be in good shape. We need to be spiritual if we're going to help others. And if you're not yet a Christian, can I urge you, make this your priority in 2020. Be spiritual. That's the first thing we're commanded. All of us are to take our own Christian walk seriously. To keep in step with the Spirit. Secondly, be... Anyone see what the second one is? Be gentle, that's right. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Because that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? David read that to us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, for some of us, and I sadly count myself in this number, we need to be more gentle. People are hurting. People are fragile. People have fallen into sin. And we need to be gentle in the way that we help them. They may feel shame. They may feel fear. They may feel hopeless. And so we need to be gentle in the way we support them. Just think about Jesus and the way he went to the lady, the woman at the well in Samaria. What a gentle but direct way of challenging her. Think about Jesus and the way that he interacted with Zacchaeus. Think about how he spoke to Peter after Peter's denial. Jesus had strength. He had courage, but he was gentle in the way that he went to help sinners. So you and I need to be spiritual, and we also need to be gentle with one another, because that is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Are you gentle? Do you need to pray for a more gentle spirit? Be spiritual. Be gentle. What's the third one? Be self-aware. I've packaged two together really in this. Self-aware both for your own sins, but also your own walk before God. So easy to be deluded that spirituality is your version instead of the Bible's. Be self-aware of your own weaknesses and your own walk with God. But here's the thing, how do you know if you're self-aware? Yeah, I'm self-aware. How do you know that? Well, I want to give you two practical ways of testing this out into 2020. We're taught in James 1 to use the Bible like a mirror. Yeah? The Bible is to be like a mirror. We're to be doers of the word. So what happens when I look in the mirror and I find that I've got some toothpaste still around my mouth? Well, I meant to find the flannel and wipe the toothpaste off. I've looked into the mirror. The mirror has shown me what's wrong with me. Thank you, mirror. But now I need to do something to correct it. That's what God's word is meant to be for us who are Christians. It's a mirror. Not for going, oh, don't I look great? But going, oh, look, I need to change that. So can I encourage you to use the Bible like that in 2020? Allow it to challenge you. Look at the way that Jesus is portrayed. Am I like that? Look at the teaching that you find in the epistles. Do I follow that? As you do that, you'll become more self-aware. And don't just cherry pick Psalm 23 on continuous loop. No, read some of the harder stuff that will challenge you. Maybe have a reading plan that's given to you so that you read hard and easy. So one way of becoming self-aware is to read the Bible and to read it together, to study it together in the Bible studies. Be self-aware. Use the Bible like a mirror. But here's a second way to be more self-aware. Write out a list of your strengths and weaknesses, your character strengths and weaknesses, and your lifestyle strengths and weaknesses, and then go and share them with a friend. Find a Christian friend who you trust and share them. This is my assessment of me. And I know that you're spiritual, and I know that you love me. So can we discuss it? They might encourage you. They might show you a blind spot. But they might show that you're actually quite self-aware. Yep, that's you. That's you. You see it. I see it. Let's get to prayer. Let's get to working on changing that aspect of your life. Would you be willing to do that? Would you have people in this room that you could share that list with? That's what it is to be self-aware. Proverbs 26 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Ephesians 4 calls our friends to speak the truth in love to us. So, a very practical way for you to become more self-aware so that you avoid the sins that you might fall into, or you avoid the pride of thinking you're more than you are, is to use the Bible as a mirror and then to share what you found with a friend. I am glad to serve any of you who want to show me your strengths and weaknesses, and I promise that I'll share mine back with you. So it's not a one-way street. I'd love you to serve me and show me my blind spots. So if anyone wants to do that with me, I would love to serve you. Be spiritual, be gentle, be self-aware, and then fourthly, be committed. Be committed. the kind of people that will open up, want to know that you're going to be around, that you're going to show some commitment over the long haul. Christian fellowship isn't like some kind of contract where you lay out 6 appointments and then we're done. It's not pay by the hour, is it? It's that friendship that walks steadily, committedly through life. So can I encourage you to be committed to this church and these people in 2020? You know, we actually long for that. We long for commitment, but our culture is against us. Our culture says it's all about the quick and the shallow. And yet that never means we get to the heart. And so I'm thankful for those of you here who have shown commitment to me over the years I've served here. And you've been there week in, week out. You've listened and you've spoken. It's taken time. To be committed is to grow together. To bear one another's burdens, it's like a marathon, not a sprint. But it's hard to be committed in the long term. I know, look at verse 9. Let us not grow weary of doing good. Paul gets it. He knows what you're thinking. For in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. Now, when is due season? Half an hour later? No. Next week? No. It's months and years, isn't it? Maybe decades before some of the deeper stuff within us gets sorted, before we can get to the heart of some others who we know are struggling. And so we grow weary, don't we? We feel like giving up. Why do I bother? And so we are told, let us not grow weary of doing good. Show that commitment, and it may take years before that person opens up about their inner struggles. Don't you just love God's plan for local church? Local church is God's plan for bearing each other's burdens. A sizable group of people who gather regularly. People visit us, they hear the gospel. God works and they get converted. We test that out. We see it's genuine. We baptize them. They come into membership. And guess what? Then we serve them. We get to bear their burdens. They get to bear our burdens. And we grow steadily, slowly together. That's God's plan for the Christian life. It's not walking alone. It's coming into fellowship. It's coming into a family. It's being cared for, being able to serve. Isn't that wonderful? That God has designed his church to be a place where we can grow together. And yet, we all face that temptation to quit. I know of several serial church hoppers. They stay one place for a while and then they run off to another place. They're on the edge of this church, they're on the edge of that church. They never, ever settle. They never show any real commitment. And guess what? Their burdens stay unresolved. It takes commitment. It takes risk. It takes a lot of time, doesn't it? And I'm so thankful for those here who do that. You're amazing. You're what makes this church a place where we can grow. Be spiritual, be gentle, be self-aware, and be committed. Now, my last two points are practical ways in which I believe we can achieve this goal. So, number 5, be more available. I want all of you here to be more available to other people in 2020. Remember the Russian doll? It takes time to get to each other's burdens. And if we are going to serve one another, and if we're going to have people serve us, we need to be more available. I've got two very practical ways in which you can be more available this year. Firstly, stay for lunch. Is that difficult? Stay for lunch, because it's always been more than food, okay? The reason that we have shared lunches is for far more than feeding ourselves. It is a way in which we can be more available to one another. That's the point of shared lunches, okay? When we set them up, we knew we were hungry, but we also knew we needed to get to know one another in an unstructured way. You're not getting to know each other too well at the moment. This is a structured meeting. You're listening to me. But over lunch, you can find ways over the washing up. It's not just at the meal table, while we're waiting, as we clear up, and we find little pictures into each other's lives. I never knew that. And slowly we can find our relationships growing as we become more available in the unstructured time. So, there's a commandment here to bear each other's burdens. It takes time to get from the outer to the inner. You can practically be helping others by staying for lunch. You might say, but I don't like the food that's served. I prefer to eat a bit later. Well, be sacrificial and eat what's given for one day in the week. There's a pain for you. Yeah, I get that. But suffer that burden yourself for the good of others. Do you see? It's very practical, isn't it? I don't get what I deserve or prefer each week. It's not about me getting what I want. It's about me saying this is an opportunity to serve others. I eat what's given at the time it's given. And you know, I'm always glad with the food that's served here. But there's a very practical way, but you need to do it week in, week out. Don't think, oh, well, I'll do it today, and it'll all be hunky-dory, and all my problems will be gone, and I'll have been soaked. No, probably nothing will happen today. Okay, it'll take weeks, it'll take months. This is slow, isn't it? Yeah? But you've got to have that mindset that says, I'm changing my Sundays to be not just about me coming to worship God privately, but about me coming to serve my brothers and sisters. It's got to change. It's going to be painful. It's inconvenient. You're already starting to growl quietly. What's he on about? But that's what it takes in order for us to be a community that really know each other. A second way you can be very practically more available is to share your life together. Do the normal stuff together. Yeah? You've got to do some chores on Saturday morning. Invite one of the members to come along with you. You've got to walk your dog. Someone else can walk the dog with you. Yeah? You've got to put a shelf up. Get someone else to help you put the shelf up. Do the normal stuff of life with another Christian. Why? Because as you do it together, conversation will start. Some people don't like the direct. Yeah? I'm a direct guy. I'm happy. Sit me in front of you, I'll talk to you, I'll eyeball you. Some people don't like that. Great, no worries. Let's go for a walk on Hampstead Heath. Just walk. Nothing really was said the first walk. Next walk, something was just shared. Okay. Third walk, we feel a bit more willing to talk now. Do you see? It's doing stuff in a busy week together. Ask someone, can I help you with something this week? Go and offer yourself with a pair of hands. Wash their dishes for them. That's the practical way in which you can be more available. Because side by side, some of the more quiet people will open up. So, be more available in 2020. It means you being inconvenienced by other people. Stay for Sunday lunches. Share your week together. Lastly, be more open. If you want them to open up to you, guess what? You need to open up to them. And immediately you say, but that's risky. Yeah, exactly. So you now know what it's like for them. That makes me vulnerable. That stops me looking like I'm all together. Exactly. But as you open up to them, they may be able to help you and open up to you. Isn't it wonderful? It's two-way. I've got burdens. I need your help. And if I can serve you by helping with your burdens, it's a win-win situation. Be more open. Dare to talk about your struggles with sin. Dare to talk about your fears in life. And find that the Holy Spirit will bring people to you who will minister to you and comfort you and challenge you and change you through 2020. If you're going to stay zipped up, running out at the end of the service for another year, then don't expect a great deal of change. God has given you a family, other Christians, but it takes time to be available and to be more open. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. May that be our ambition in 2020. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the great shepherd of your sheep. But we thank you you've also given one another to serve and support us. But Lord, that's not easy. And it's rarely comfortable. And it's almost never convenient. And so we pray you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Make us those who keep in step with him and his agenda and his priorities. And may we be those willing to wash one another's feet, to stay and have a meal, not for our good, but that we might serve others. Not that we might get what we want to eat when we choose to eat it. That we might sacrifice a meal a week to serve and love each other. Help us to think of others through the week, to include them in the things we do. Help us, Lord, to be more honest about our own struggles, to ask for prayer, ask for advice. Oh, Father, this is one thing to put the postcard on the fridge door, is another thing to actually commit to do. We pray you'd help us. Give us that gentleness with one another. Give us that patience as we work together. But above all, give us yourself. We need you to be the King, the Lord of this church, that we might do everything in a way that brings honour and glory to you, so that our visitors might see that Christ is here. See that there is something different because of him, that we are able to love each other sacrificially because we know the sacrificial love of Jesus. Oh, Father, we are so poor at this. We are so individually minded. We are so bound up with our own private lives. We are so fearful about getting involved. We are so impatient that we can't wait for the months and the years. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd burn these truths on our hearts, that this message would have come from you, that we'd be clear that it's your command, it's your law that we are to follow as we love each other sacrificially this year. Please forgive anything that's been said wrong. Please help us, Lord, as we grapple with this truth together, and we ask it for the glory of Jesus. Amen.